Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. August 3rd, 1980, first interview with Mr. Kenneth Ung at his residence in Montebello, conducted by Beverly Tung. Mr. Ung, what is your Chinese name?
Ping. Ping.
Ping. And where are you from?
Los Angeles, California.
Okay. And that, you were born here?
Yes.
Okay. What about your father?
My father was from Canton, China.
Uh-huh. Which village?
Huiping, Laogong.
Uh-huh. Okay. Which year were you born?
Well, let's put it this way, in the early 1912.
Okay. And your mother also came from China?
My mother originally from China, but she was a San Francisco girl.
What does that mean? She was born in...
She was born in China and came over to San Francisco.
I see. And your father also? Was in San Francisco?
No, my father from China came to Los Angeles.
Ah, I see. What was your father's occupation?
He was a druggist, what they call a herb doctor.
Doctor, uh-huh. And do you know when he came to Los Angeles?
Well, I would take a guess. I think he came to America in 1878.
1878?
1878, pardon me.
Oh, I see. Oh, I see. Okay. And was he always, had he always been an herbalist?
Well, as far as I know, he has.
I see. Prior to coming to L.A.?
Well, he...
I guess he was pretty young when he came over.
Yes, because I think they must study in China before they can be a herbalist.
Mm-hmm. What about your grandfather?
That you have to look in the history.
I see. You have never met your grandfather?
No, because we have a lot of relatives around, but they're so big that you can't trace them.
Mm-hmm. You showed me the photograph of the place where you were born. That your father's herbal medicine shop. What was the address of that place?
757 North Alameda Street.
Oh, I see. At that time, was it common for children to be born at home?
Most of them. That's they call a midwife or a doctor that comes to the house and. And a lot of them, they don't even have a doctor. They're just born by midwife, they call them. But as far as we're concerned, we have a doctor called Dr. Billy. And,
American?
American doctor. And I think she gave birth to most of our brothers and sisters.
Oh,
that's why we get the American name. She gave it to us.
She?
Mm-hmm.
She was a doctor?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Rather than a midwife?
No, yes, she was a doctor.
I see. How many brothers and sisters did you
have? We have four from this original mother. We have eight brothers. That's including me now, and four sisters.
Oh, my. Your mother never had a job, I guess.
A what?
Your mother, did she ever have a job?
No, she would call jacket, you know, bind
oh,
it.
Oh, she had bound feet.
Yeah, one of these dainty women, you know.
Oh, I see. What kind of dialect did you speak at home?
Cantonese, Seiya.
Seiya, oh, I see. Among your brothers and sisters?
Yeah, we all speak Seiya.
I see. And you continue to speak that dialect with with them after you grew up and...
Mm-hmm. Even when we see one another, we still speak to them.
I see. How about with your children?
The children don't know anything.
Okay. How long did you live in the your father's herb medicine?
Oh, that place where on Alameda Street? I stayed there till I was...
Till you were 20?
Mm-hmm.
I see. Which elementary school did you go to?
I went to Hewitt Street School.
Hewitt?
Hewitt.
How do you spell that?
H-E-W-I-T-T.
Uh-huh.
That's on where the White King Soap Factory neighborhood.
The what? Soap factory?
White King Soap.
Is that a Chinese?
No, White King Soap, then where they make soap.
Yeah. Oh, White King.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I see. And were there any Chinese at that time?
Oh, yes. There were a few, but not many. It was mostly Spanish,
wow.
Mexican people,
uh-huh.
And Japanese.
Whom did you play with most of the time?
Well, usually we don't have much time to play. After American school, we go to Chinese school.
Oh.
So whatever we play, it was on the way home with some Japanese and Mexican people.
Mm-hmm. Japanese and Mexican, I see. Any blacks?
There were a few, but they won't dare come around.
What do you mean they won't dare come around?
I don't know. They seem to get scared or something like that, because they're black. They stay in their place.
I see. How about the time before elementary school? How much of that do you remember? Can you describe what it was like to live in that house?
Oh.
You said it was rather filthy.
It's real filthy, dirty, you see. Rats, cockroaches, and ants, flies.
Your mother didn't do anything about it?
There's nothing you can do about it, because they're not like now where they have people come around with spray and spray your plants and spray everything. This way, they don't care how the Chinese lived before. They just...
You could call in an exterminator?
Exterminator? No such thing as exterminator.
I see. So, wasn't there any rat poisoning, that sort of stuff?
No, there were no rat poisoning. You know how we just kill a rat? We used to, my neighbor had sell chicken,
uh-huh.
So he trapped them in wire cages,
uh-huh.
And in order to exterminate them, he used boiling water and poured over them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. I see. He builds rat traps.
Mm-hmm. The wire one.
Oh, I see. What kind of activities did you engage in during your childhood prior to attending elementary school?
What do you mean by activity now? Playing?
Things, yeah, play and
well,
responsibilities.
Any chance we have, we try to play. Baseball, basketball.
Where?
Track meet. Well, that'll come later. I'll tell you about this playground that we used to have.
Uh-huh.
We have no place to play out in the street.
Uh-huh.
So in the 27th, there was a house, not a house, but a stable that burned down about 10 years, about in 1916,
mm-hmm.
And there's nothing but bricks and glasses and everything there, and there's a nice big place. So we used to clean it up. We used to hire a horse and a wagon for about $1 a day,
mm-hmm.
And all the kids used to pitch in and load all the bricks and load all the glasses on the wagon and dig a hole and throw it in there. And finally, this Mrs. Cope, I can still remember her name, she used to be a woodshop teacher at the Macy grammar school. And she was interested in the Chinese people. So she came down and got the Board of Education to help us. So they cleaned up the place and called it the Apple Blossom Street Playground.
So, but was there any merry-go-round swings and that sort of stuff?
Well, there was swing. There's no merry-go-round.
I see. I meant those little, what you call
them? Oh, yeah, there's enough things there for the kids to play.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was on Apple Plaza Street?
Apple Plaza Street. At the tail end of Apple Plaza Street as you go east.
I see. Did you ever observe any, for instance, tongue wars and things of that
sort?
Oh,
yes, I've observed a lot of them. Up to the last one, it was in 1930 when I was going to high school. And 5 o'clock in the morning, I heard a shot. I came out to the doorway and I saw this guy. He works at the Chui Fa Lao.
Yeah.
And he's a cook. They used to work about 15 to 18 hours a day. So he came across the street and this guy shot him.
Oh.
And then he lost his hat. And he said, "What?" As he ran back to get his hat, and the other fellow on the other side of the street shot him again.
Was he missed the first time?
Was hit because there were about 4 shots in his body. And
so he went back to get his hat?
Yeah, and then the other
guy
on the other side of the street shot him. And so he ran across the street and he lay down on the pavement there. And so in 1930 they had pavement then. And so I went over there and I asked Mr. Kwan what happened. He said, nothing happened.
Was he the guy who got shot?
Yeah.
He got shot 4 times and he still can talk?
Yeah, but you know, it wasn't that serious. You know? But years later, that bullet took effect and he died.
They never removed it?
Oh, they removed, you know, like those days, the American don't care about the Chinese people. You know, you have to take care of yourself.
Oh. There weren't any Chinese MDs?
No. You're lucky. There was Peter Suhu was the only one that had a decent job. He worked for the Water and Power.
Oh, yes.
When you go to ask American people for a job, they won't give you because they're Chinese.
I see. Do you know the reasons why the Tongs, family Tongs had
wars? Oh, yes. The Tongs are just like your club here. They're formed to protect the individual members because they used to have a lot of gambling, and in order to protect the people from getting
busted.
No, I wouldn't say busted, getting cheated.
Ah.
But they formed the Tongs. Oh, you cheat my member, so you better make restitution or we start a war against you, or, you know.
Now, the Tongs, were they like our family? Family associations?
Well, I wouldn't say it's a family association.
Well, how were they based? I mean,
anybody can join the club.
Well, no. How come there were so many Tongs? How did they decide?
Who
gets to go into a certain Tong?
It's just like your club. There's nobody who decide if you want to join this club or that club. I still remember that the father and son joined different Tong, and when the two Tong was fighting against each other, the son and the father go hiding.
Oh.
Because they don't want the son to shoot the father, and the father to shoot the son, because that you have to do what the guy tells you to.
I see. When did the Tong Wars begin?
Oh, I don't know when they begin. A long, long time before I was born.
The police never did anything?
You know what the policemen did? Mm. Like that, a situation where the guy ran across the street and got shot.
Uh-huh.
The policemen turned their back.
Oh.
They won't even, you know. He said, one less Chinaman is enough.
You described to me something else, like Chinese being hung by their pigtails, right?
Mm-hmm.
And shot. Was that by Caucasians? Or?
Oh, yeah, by the cowboys. Just for fun. They get drunk, and I think they said that the Chinese, one of the Chinese molested one of the women, white woman. And
oh.
So they hung up all 19 of them, I guess. You know the book that they do have?
Oh,
I think
yeah.
It's in there.
That all the massacre?
Well, I wouldn't say
October.
Massacre. I would say deliberate shooting, you know.
19?
19 of them. Hanged by the pigtail.
And nobody did anything, including the Chinese? How about the Tongs who were supposed to protect them?
Well, I know they can't buck against white people. You know? They're mean against their own people, but they can't buck against the white people.
Well, wasn't it dangerous to live in an environment where there was all this shooting?
Was it dangerous is right, but what are you going to do? Whenever you hear a shot, you run out there and see what's going on. Bullets flying around.
You're not afraid of being shot accidentally?
Well, you never think about those things.
I see. What about the social aspects of it? Was there much social intermingling between, for instance, the Chinese and the Mexicans or whatever? Who else lived in the neighborhood?
Well, neighborhood is mostly Chinese living in the neighborhood, which is not very, I would say. Oh, around that neighborhood, there was not more than about 150 Chinese. And the one that have can afford a better home, they live downtown.
When you say 150 Chinese, you mean 150 families or 150 individuals?
I would say 150 families.
I see. And they didn't have much to do with the other...
The other what?
Ethnic groups, like... You say you went to Hewitt Street School,
no.
And there were Spanish and Japanese kids, so I assume their parents lived not too far away.
Well, they don't go visit one another because they have their own problem at home. They have the children they have to clean and clothes, men clothes and everything, you know. It's pretty hard for the Chinese woman to go out and socialize.
By the time you were born, men no longer wore pigtails, right?
Well, in fact, up to when I was 5 years old, I still had pigtails.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how about your father?
Mm.
Did he always have a pigtail?
Oh, yeah, he had a pigtail, but we cut it off at the same time, I guess.
Around 1917, then?
After the... just before the First World War.
Uh-huh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Did that war make any difference to your life?
No. It just... we go, when I was a kid, you know, we just go about our business. We save peach seed and...
Saved what?
Peach seed, so you can plant them again so we can eat.
Peach. Yeah, oh, peach seeds, really.
See, we take it to school, see, and then they gather it, and then they plant the for peach trees so we can eat. So in other words, you know what they call saving your energy.
Uh-huh, yeah. Which junior high school did you go to?
I went to Central Junior High School. That was originally called the L.A. High School.
Central Junior High?
That was on top of Fort Moore. You know what Fort Moore is, don't you? That's where that John C. Fremont defend California, where all these people, General Lewis, they stormed that place up there and a lot of people got killed.
But Central Junior High somehow was eliminated, I think,
mm-hmm.
later on. went to which high school? LA High School?
I went to Lincoln High School.
Okay. Throughout your childhood, would you say you associated mostly with Chinese or
well
mixture?
I would say half Chinese and half Japanese.
Mm-hmm. How many Japanese were there? What were they doing at that time?
Well, Japanese used to have a nice business in Japanese town. They had drugstores and...
What's that, Little Tokyo, right?
Mm-hmm.
The old part
that's
of it.
That's on
yeah.
First Street.
Yeah.
Because they know how to better themselves, I guess, in those days.
They were considered to be in a higher financial economic
mm-hmm.
status, I see. Were you brought up Chinese? In other words, you say you went to a Chinese school.
Mm-hmm.
How long did you go?
Chinese school up to when I was 15 years old.
I see. So quite a few years, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Which Chinese school was it?
Mingdakakao. Modern, they call it modern Chinese school. Mingda.
Mingda. Haibinda.
It's from Los Angeles Street.
Mm-hmm. How many kids were there?
I would say close to about 20.
Mm-hmm. At different levels or all in your
school? Oh, different room? Level, different level.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Did you resent having to
go?
Go, yeah.
Yes, I resent quite a bit because I like to go play ball. Huh?
But you went, nevertheless.
I went, but, you know, this family was pretty strict.
How many hours every day?
Let's see now. When I was in grammar school, we're through school about 2 o'clock, and 4 o'clock we'll go to Chinese school,
mm-hmm.
and we'll get through to about 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I started junior high school. After school, we start at 4. We have an hour break. At 5 o'clock, we come home and eat. And then we go back to school till 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to high school. We just go to one shift about from 5 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. True, that's a lot.
Hmm?
Yeah, that's still quite a few hours put in.
Yeah, you have to remember, when we was going to grammar school and junior high school, we have to go to school on Saturdays and Sundays.
Sunday also? Chinese school?
Chinese school.
Oh, that's unusual. Most people tell me only Saturday.
Saturdays and Sundays.
Oh, I see.
That's a morning session.
Did you help your father out while you were
No.
After you came home or
no,
during summer vacation?
We couldn't help him out because we don't know nothing about the medicine.
Mm-hmm.
But we do take odd jobs like selling ice cream, shining shoes, and whatever we make, we take home to help
mm-hmm.
the family out.
How old were you when you started doing odd jobs like that?
Oh, I would say I was selling ice cream when I was about 8 years old, and shining shoe went to up to 12.
Oh, my.
And work in the market, packing peaches when I was 15, and deliver paper when I was 15.
Oh, my. It was a pretty hard life, huh?
That's why I value money. That's why you can afford something like this, you know.
How did you get into the produce business?
Well,
is that what you did after high school? Or?
After high school, I went to apply for a job in one of the newspapers. I don't want to mention any name.
Mm-hmm.
I was a linotypist.
Uh-huh.
And my school teacher's name is Tate. He said, Kenny, he says, there's a job open at one of the newspapers. Will you go apply for it? I said, sure. After that, I went to apply,
mm-hmm.
and the first thing they see, looked at me and said, he's Chinese. So it made me fill up a blank, you know, one of the forms.
Yeah.
He said, we'll call you when we need you.
Oh, yeah.
And then the one that worked under me at high school, well, he got the job when he graduated.
So what did you do?
After that, I just felt bad. And I said, hey, I don't need to work for them. I said, I just go on my own. So I start working in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been there since.
I see. The market, you said, was it a Chinese market?
No, it's owned by the American people, but all the Chinese have their own stalls in there. They call it stalls because
mm-hmm.
in olden time they have this little farm. They bring their produce
mm-hmm.
and take it to the market and sell. So it just happened that I have a job working inside of the house.
Mm-hmm. What did you start out as?
What do you mean by
when you first worked for the market?
Salary-wise or?
Both, salary and,
well,
and position.
I work for Standard Produce
mm-hmm.
and getting $7.50 a week.
Which year was that?
Oh, that's 1928,
27. Mm-hmm.
And,
How old were you when you graduated from high school?
Well, I was pretty old, about 19.
I see. So you started working part-time for the...
Yes, I started...
For the Standard Produce?
Mm-hmm. Just packing peaches.
Packing peaches.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what most Chinese teenagers did, that sort of...
Well...
Jobs?
They, in those days, there weren't so many Chinese... kids around the neighborhood anyway, so the one that can afford it, they don't work.
I see.
The father supports them,
mm-hmm.
where the poor won't have to work.
Yeah. And then, I presume you got steady promotions, did you?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
You work for your promotion, and it gives me a good living.
I see. Did you ever get your own produce business?
Oh, well, I had a route during the Second World War.
A route?
Yeah, a route selling produce.
Oh, door to door selling
mm-hmm.
produce.
And they were rationing gasoline, rationing rubbers and tires
yeah,
and everything.
Right.
And the tire out of my truck blew up
okay.
and I couldn't get no tire, so I had to give it up.
I see. What other kinds of jobs did you have?
I washed dishes.
Uh-huh. After high school?
Before I go to high school, and after high school, when I'm through high school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, could you give me a chronological order of things that happened after high school, or starting from before high school and then go on? You say you worked as a peach packer at 15 and then for Standard Produce, and then what happened directly after that?
Well, you take Standard Produce,
mm-hmm.
well, when the season is good, you'll be working there for a while, and when the season is bad, why, you have to find other jobs. So during that time, I went to work for Denny Moore and Bill Brennan there at Corned Beef Specialty, where all the stockbroker had their office on Spring Street before,
mm-hmm.
and they used to go there and eat. So I got a job washing dishes,
mm-hmm.
and before I go to high school, I used to walk up 9th and Main, 9th between Main and Spring Street,
mm-hmm.
and clean up the mess, bring down the corned beef, and then after that, before school started, we'd take a streetcar and go to school. And then after school, we go and do the same thing, clean up the mess as a busboy and washing dishes at the same time.
How much was that to be a busboy dishwasher?
How much
in those days? How much were you being paid?
I was getting paid about $10.50.
Per week?
Yeah.
For full time?
Well, I wouldn't say full time. There's about 6 hours.
6 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Then, did you move on to something a little bit
after
more
high
challenging.
School, after high school, I started delivering Chinese newspaper because my brother was delivering newspaper, so I took his route over.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found something better in the market where I have a steady job, so I quit that and go into a produce business.
Which market?
It's the wholesale market on 9th and San Pedro Street.
Oh, Chinese.
I wouldn't say a Chinese. It's owned by American.
It's owned by American.
And,
but there were a lot of Chinese businesses.
Used to a lot of Chinese people, not now.
No. I meant in your days.
Mm-hmm. There were a lot of Chinese owned.
But you chose to work for an American?
No, I work for a Japanese.
Oh, a Japanese, I see. Okay. Helping him with wholesale or groceries?
I start out as a swamper. That means delivery boy.
Ah, yes. And then,
there
are
after that,
jobbers?
What's that?
Jobbers. There's those people called jobbers?
Oh, they're jobbers, wholesale jobbers and wholesale produce. And I work as a swamper where you deliver and load up the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I work as a receiver where the people bring the stuff in and you receive it. Mm.
How much were you being paid as a swamper?
Well, a swamper, yes. All the way from $7.50 to $15 a week.
You started off in the $15 a week range?
No, I started at $7.50 a week.
That which was less than what you were making before.
And then I was get